What do you think about when you think of Memorial Day? When you started making plans for this weekend, as many of you have, and many of our folks who are traveling to see loved ones, kinfolk, folks out of town, a lot of folks traveling and enjoying that. What did you think about when you first thought about Memorial Day? Did you think about a day off? Did you think about maybe a backyard barbecue with the family? That's okay. You definitely thought about a family get-together, at least maybe having something a little different. But folks, I'm afraid that Memorial Day in most places, maybe even in most churches, is ignored. And I'm afraid that that is a grave error. I think because it's not a holy day, if you will, it's not a day that the Lord set up as a feast in the Word, perhaps a lot of Christian folks don't think about it. But I think it's good to remember Memorial Day. I don't even think it's good. I think it's great. I think it is necessary to remember what Memorial Day represents. Why? Because it's good for us to remember. We're a forgetful people, are we not? We are a forgetful people. It's good to remember. We live, we love, we become children again through the blessing of memory. Amen? Folks, what a blessing to remember. Some memories are sad, some memories are happy, some just make us go, Some memories are very, very practical, if not most memories. Folks, just kind of like, you know, when you come to a red light, you're supposed to. That's a good memory. It can save your life. It can save a lot of havoc. You know, guys, there's a date every year that if you forget, it'll be to your detriment. And it's not just your birthday. It's your anniversary date. And folks, if we don't remember these things, it's to our detriment. Listen, memories are very practical. The problem is that so often our memory really does fail us. There was a man named John who had a very serious memory problem. And he saw his friend Bill. And he told Bill, he said, "Bill, I got some great news." And his friend Bill said, "Well, what's your good news?" He said, "Do you remember what a bad memory I used to have?" He goes, "Yes, John, I really do remember about the bad memory that you had." He goes, "Bill, not anymore. I have gone to a seminar, and they taught me how to remember things, and I no longer have a bad memory. I can remember things that I couldn't remember before." And he said, "Really?" He said, "Hey, John, what was the name of that seminar?" He said, "Just a minute, let me ask my wife." And then he turned back and he said, "Hey, Bill, what's the name of that flower that has a long stem with thorns and has a red blossom on the top?" He said, "A rose?" He goes, "Yes, a rose." "Rose, what's the name of that seminar that we..." A good memory will help you out. A good memory will serve you well. There are events that we should never forget. In one of my deacon's homes, I see it when I go to visit Mike. There's a picture of family members crying with tears and devastation in memory and at 9/11, and underneath the picture it says, "We shall never forget." Folks, when we forget to remember, it will be to our detriment. Memorial Day commemorates some things that we should never forget. And as you recall, it came about after the Civil War, and it was called at first Decoration Day, and they would remember the lost soldiers. Well, after World War I, it became a national holiday to remember those who had made the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. the ultimate sacrifice that we could celebrate. We have so much to remember and to be thankful and grateful for. Amen? Whatever you do, people, don't forget. Don't forget how we got here. Don't forget the price that was paid. Don't forget the price that is continually being paid for your freedom and for mine. It's constantly being paid so that we could live and enjoy the blessings that God has given us. Please don't ever forget. History teaches us that people are forgetful. You know, that's why we have history books. And the problem is that we not only have people that are forgetful, we have people who want to forget, so they're even rewriting the history books. There's a sad commentary. We don't want to remember what was done, or some don't want to remember what was done. Folks, we have a history book as well. And in God's Word are recorded some things that God said He never wanted us to forget. So as a patriot, as an American, I urge you, I implore you, never forget the price that was paid for our freedom. Never forget that it might cost blood again to protect our families. Long before the blood, it's going to take a vote, amen? But God knew that we were forgetful, so He said, hey, I've written some things down, and I've got some things for you and some reminders that I never want you to forget. God gave us many reminders. In Genesis chapter 9, the Scripture says that He gave us the rainbow. In Joshua chapter 4, it says that He had them put down some rocks. Let me just read a couple of things to you. In Joshua chapter 4, it says, Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over this river, it was the Jordan River, as they were going in to take the land that God had given them. He said, cross over before the ark of the Lord, your God, into the midst of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder. So not a little stone, a large stone, according to the number of each tribe of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign to you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what are these stones? What do these stones mean? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And when it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. God had them pile up rocks so that their kids later on, when somebody had forgotten to tell them the story, they'd say, why is there a pile of rocks here? And they could tell them what God had done for them. In Genesis chapter 9, after the Lord had flooded the earth, after all mankind was wiped out except for one godly family, it says that the Lord came to Noah and He said, thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall I flood all flesh and be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for a perpetual generations. I set my, what? What's in the sky to tell us it's never going to flood again? Have your parents forgotten to tell you about that? When you see a rainbow, do you just say, oh, how pretty? Or do you remember the covenant that God gave us, that He would never flood all of mankind and destroy the earth again by flood? He said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. That's you. You're part of the perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Never forget. Have you forgotten? Maybe it's time for some new lessons and not just say, what a beautiful sign in the sky, but let's start telling our children and grandchildren what it's there for. It's a covenant sign with God. Genesis tells us about the rainbow, God's sign, God's covenant. There were 12 rocks that were planted by the river that reminded them that God had stopped the Jordan, leading them to the promised land. And He said, look, remember these things. And then God, not only there, but many times over, there were at least seven feasts that God said, I want you to remember. He said, I want you to remember the feast of the Passover, of unleavened bread, the feast of the first fruits, the feast of Pentecost, the feast of the trumpets, the feast of atonement, and the feast of, you're in it, the tabernacle. All these things, he said, I want you to remember these things. God commanded special memorials designed to help us remember so they wouldn't forget what God had done. I want to cover three of those today, three that are very important. You know the stories already behind each one, so I won't belabor them, but I do want to share with you and jog your memory and help us to remember. The first memorial that I want to mention is today. Today is a memorial, Sunday. Our day of worship is set up as a memorial of what God has done for us. Do you remember? It all started in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. He worked for 6 days in creation, it said, and on the seventh day, he rested. God consecrated that day, and he called it the Sabbath day of rest. And they were to remember, God's people were to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. They were to worship. We were to rest. Centuries passed, and the people began to twist it and distort it, and they made it such a burden on the people that it no longer became a remembrance of what God had done, but of something that they could accomplish and say, wow, look what I can do. And it was so bad that Jesus cried out to the Pharisees in Mark chapter 2, verse 27. He said, listen, people, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It was made to help you and to help you remember what God has done. When Jesus then was crucified and buried, and then he was raised from the dead, he was raised on the first day of the week, on Sunday. On Sunday, the first day of the week. Then the day of Pentecost came. What day of the week did it come on? Sunday, the first day of the week. And what we know as the New Testament church began meeting. And they began meeting on that first day of the week because it was so important to them. And as 3,000 people responded on that first Sunday meeting, if you will, where they all gathered together, the gospel was preached and the church had begun. Soon the early Christians were meeting regularly on that first day to worship God and to encourage one another. And in the book of Revelation, John even spoke of this day of worship as the Lord's Day. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Listen, if it's the Lord's Day, you need to be in the Spirit. Anybody need some help? Don't we all? We need to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. So it is to those of us who gather to worship the Lord our God on this day. It's a day to remember what our God has done, that we have a holy and a righteous God, to remember what he's done for us and to rededicate ourselves to him. Now, the second memorial is the Feast of the Passover. We've alluded to it in the feast that we talked about, but you may recall that Israel had been sojourners. They had been wanderers going to and from, and you remember it kind of started with Joseph's family when he was taken to Egypt, and then he moved all of his family there a little later, and they began to grow and multiply, and before too long, the Egyptians got afraid of them, and they put them into bondage. They put them into slavery. So here they were. They were wandering around. Now they were in slavery for 400 years. And then the scripture says that God came to Moses and said, Moses, you go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. You recall the story. So as Moses got there, Moses went to Egypt. He told Pharaoh that God has said, let my people go. But you remember, Pharaoh refused to listen. God then sent plagues to let them know that he was in charge. And each time the plague got to its worst, Pharaoh said, okay, I relent. I'm going to let them go. And then when the plague lifted, what did he do? He took his word back. He had lied. He didn't let them go. Each time Pharaoh broke his promise and kept them in slavery. Then there was the final plague, the last plague, the death angel, you recall. God told them in Exodus chapter 11, he said, I will go through Egypt and every firstborn will die. Do you remember this? Folks, this was the plague of the death angel. And then after God told him it was coming, he gave instruction to the Israelites in chapter 12 on how they could be protected. He said, look, if you will cover yourself as I tell you to, you will be protected by the blood of the lamb. Each family was to choose the best young lamb that they had, either goat or a sheep. It was to be spotless, without blemish. They were to choose that spotless lamb. They were to sacrifice that lamb. Folks, I think this is something that we've forgotten, that when it comes to a gift to God, we're supposed to choose our very best. We're supposed to give of the best of what we have. We're to give it to him in honor of him, in honor of what he's done for us. That biblical principle that God deserves our best is something that we often forget. But he told the Israelites, he says, you choose your best and you offer it to me. Our best love, our best gifts. And God gave specific instruction. He said, you're to sacrifice that lamb. You're to take its blood and you're to put it over the doorpost. You're to roast the rest of that lamb and to serve it with unleavened bread. And you recall that. But as they did that, the scripture says that they followed God's word. And in Exodus chapter 12, here's what it says. It says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you as on your houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So God had given a provision so that they would not have death in their household. Exodus chapter 12 tells us that they did this and God did what he promised. He passed over. The next morning in verse 33 of chapter 12, it says that the Egyptians, after they had the terrible mourning after the loss of many, many lives, it says they urged them, they pleaded with them, get out. Pharaoh had lied and he didn't keep his word and wouldn't let them go. Now they're begging them to leave. God works in mysterious ways. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 14, God said this. He said, this is the day that you are to commemorate for generations to come. You're to do this for generations to come. Where have we heard this before? In Genesis. This is to remind you for generations forever of the covenant that we have. He said, this too is to be a sign and a day that you're to commemorate for generations to come. You shall keep it a feast by an everlasting ordinance. What does everlasting mean? It means that in a little while you can give it up. No. It means that when you forget, it's okay. No. God said this is going to be an everlasting ordinance. This is a command. He said, don't you ever forget it. So have we forgotten to do the Passover? Are we doing wrong? Listen, that's where the good news is coming in. Hang on. Over 3,500 years later, we still have faithful Jews who are remembering the Passover. They have the Passover Seder. Folks, it's important that we too do not forget, that we still remember, and we remember it through the third thing I want to talk to you about today, and it's on this table, and that is a meal of remembrance. You remember how Jesus did that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we read some of those verses earlier, verses 24 and 25, the scripture says that Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, you take and eat this. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup, and it's a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26 says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now, you remember what happened there. You recall that Jesus, on the night of his crucifixion, he called his disciples together, and he even sent some ahead, and he said, go and prepare the meal. Prepare the Passover meal. And it was an evening that they were to remember as Jews. God had commanded them to remember it, but Jesus gave them something new and something greater to remember. Amen? He gave them his life to remember. He said, this is not just something that we're going to do just because it happened so long ago, but it is in prophecy. It is the reminder. It is the beginning. It is the introduction of what I am going to be doing for you. Jesus gave them something new and greater. He took the bread, and when he had broken it, it says he gave thanks, and he said to them, this represents my body, which is broken for you. As often as you do this, remember what I'm going to be doing for you. He said then, he says he took the cup and he said, this is the cup. And this cup is a new covenant, a new agreement in my blood. Do this in remembrance. I mean, why did Jesus say that? Do this in remembrance. Because it was the finishing of the prophecy and of the feast and of the covenant that God had made with them with the Passover lamb. Jesus became the ultimate and the last Passover lamb. And if his blood is on the doorpost of your heart, God guards you and your life is protected and you live with him forever and ever. Amen. Why did he say that? Remember, because Jesus is the fulfillment of that prophecy that God made so many years before. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 31. He said, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and I will write it on their hearts. See, we're not supposed to forget the law. We just help God to keep it in a whole new way, right? He said, and I will be their God. And they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more. Thank you, Lord. We're to remember so that he'll forget. That's what this is about. To remember what our Lord Jesus has done, because God said, if you will do what I've asked you to do, if in belief you will come to me, I will forgive your sins and remember them no more. The Passover meal would no longer simply be a reminder of their release from the Egyptian bondage, but from that point forward, now the bread and the cup were to be eternal reminders of Jesus, of his sacrifice, and of his love. That's why Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Later, Paul in 1 Corinthians added, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So, when you and I partake of this bread, when we partake of this cup, we're proclaiming something. We're proclaiming that I believe in the death and the burial and the resurrection of my Lord Jesus Christ. We're saying, I believe and I am partaking in remembrance of him. I will never forget. I've had people tell me, Pastor, I just have trouble taking the Lord's Supper because I'm not worthy. Join the crowd. None of us are worthy. Not one of us is worthy, but our Lord Jesus Christ is, and he paid your penalty, and he paid mine. We partake not because we're worthy. We partake because Jesus is worthy, because Jesus is holy. We partake because God has invited us into his presence, and we are going to do what God told us to do. We are going to remember. We're going to remember. remember what he's done for us, what his son has done for us. And this morning, I invite you to come into the presence of the Lord your God and to remember by partaking of the bread, to remember by taking the cup, and remember what it came from and what it came for. He invites you to come. He invites you to accept him as Lord and Savior, to accept the gift of the blood over the doorpost of your heart, to accept him as Lord and Savior. He invites you to follow him in obedience. He invites you to follow in obedience to service. We're going to have a time of invitation, and so in just a few moments, I'm going to invite you to come to this altar, to kneel, to pray. If you have a prayer request, bring it with you. You can literally just lay it here on the altar or on the table. They will be prayed for. But I'm going to ask in just a moment, as we begin the time of invitation, that first and foremost, you prepare your heart. Would you seek the heart of God? Would you seek to remember?